You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Time there's a positive Seth Payne text. I'll read it. Overcovered. Over. We were talking earlier in the show about stories that have been overcovered in 2025. Here in Houston, but particularly on Payne and Pendergast, overcovered. J.J. Watt, Andre Johnson, Arian Foster, and just about anything former Texan related. Only relevant former Texan to me is Seth Payne.
I'm on the Mount Rushmore of relevant former
Texans. Oh, that's middle screen. I didn't even look
Doesn't
at the number.
Count.
That's middle
Doesn't
screen.
Doesn't count. No, the funniest thing about that, like, obviously he's joking, but there is, when you don't have a championship in your organization, the appetite for discussion about former greats of the franchise is definitely different than once you win that championship.
No doubt.
You brought up a great, what we were talking about during the break, and Biggio and Bagwell, it took on a different aura after the Astros finally won a championship.
Yeah.
To where all of a sudden, it almost gives like a stamp of authenticity on everything.
Yes.
Even if it happened decades before.
Yeah.
And I would think about like, Leroy Selman maybe, back in the day for the Bucks.
Yeah.
Like, awesome, awesome defensive tackle, but it was for the Bucks in their expansion years and everything.
Yeah.
But I feel like just the coverage I've seen of him after the Bucks won their first Super Bowl in the early 2000s, like, it's different.
It changes.
So, yeah.
Yeah,
J.J. and Andre will get more, I think, like, genuine interest and, like, a different type of admiration once the Texans win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, well, they're both going to have, like Bagwell and Biggio, they're both going to be Hall of Famers too. That helps raise the bar. But yeah, it needs to be a championship organization with that stamp of authenticity. I think is a good way to put it, Seth. And it affects all generations of the organization.
We were talking about things that maybe we've talked about too much in 2025. I would admit to talking too much about JJ potentially coming back.
Yeah,
last
back when
year
that was
and the
a
year
thing.
Before.
Yep.
We probably beat that over the head a little too much. JJ wasn't helping because he was fueling the fire.
Do we?
With these mysterious statements and whatnot.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and it was, and people were talking about it too. I don't super apologize for that one. I do wonder, when JJ goes on McAfee, we play a lot of that audio, but I feel like we keep it confined to the stuff where he's talking about current Texans stuff.
It's more, JJ has turned into a really good commentator.
Yes.
And I think I'm really excited. For those of you who didn't know, he's going to be doing color commentary this year. And I thought he did a great job in the Christmas Day game.
Mm-hmm.
I think JJ is going to be the right blend of kind of explaining things, but also telling the player side of things and everything. So I'm excited to watch him in those.
I'm too. And he's on the second team for CBS. The first team is obviously Jim Nantz and Tony Romo. Ian Eagle is the number two play-by-play guy. That's who JJ's partner is going to be. I say that to say, and we talked about this before on the show, but in case this is new to you, that JJ's doing this, I think he's going to wind up doing a few Texan games, at least a couple of Texan games this year. I think the Texans are kind of, they have games that you look at their schedule. I think they're the type of team that's going to be playing in a lot of games that are maybe not the marquee game, but they're pretty high up the board. The days of every game being Spiro Ditas is gone. Like, that's not how they may get one of those games, but not all the games.
I miss you, Steve Tasker.
Yeah, Andrew Catalan, don't leave. So ESPN.
That was Steve Tasker, his son played at Cornell, so that was my one opportunity to talk Cornell football with somebody in the media. It was when Steve Tasker was in town every other week for a Texans game. Yeah,
not happening anymore. Not happening. So ESPN is rolling out their top 10 lists at each position, one position per day over 11 days. They've done the running backs. Joe Mixon came in at number 9. They did the defensive tackles. The Texans had nobody on that list. They do top 10. They do a few honorable mentions, and then they do the also receiving votes. Texans didn't have anybody in any of those categories at D-tackle. Oh. Not a huge surprise. And that's, I don't say that with any disgust or anything. Like that's the journeyman position for them. Edge rushers, they knocked it out of the park. They had Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter both make the top 10. Will was 8. Danielle was 9. Today is safety, Seth. So I think when you and I did our predictions on this a few days ago as to which positions would we see some Houston Texans, I think you and I both said that C.J. Gardner-Johnson, I could see him being honorable mention on. I could see him getting some votes. And by the way, 70 executives, scouts, and coaches vote on this. They put in their top 10 at each position. That's how this is tabulated here. So that was our prediction, I think, was CJ GJ in the honorable mention category.
Right. I mean, he's such a ball hawk. Yeah. And yet at the same time, he has this mysterious track record of just being on.
Changing teams every year.
Is it 4 different teams in 5 different states?
Yeah, something
whatever
like that.
It is at this point. Yeah. Yeah. He seems to have a shelf life. We don't know.
It's 4 different teams in 5 different states.
He will be. He's overly aggressive at times. He takes chances. But man, he comes down with the football very, very frequently.
Yep.
So. Where does C.J. Gardner-Johnson, by the tone of what you're saying, it sounds like he didn't make the top 10.
He didn't make the top 10, but he did make... Now, C.J. Gardner-Johnson is not the only thing that intrigues me about the Texans on this list. Mm-hmm. C.J. Gardner-Johnson, as we predicted, and we'll tell you who the top ones were in just a second, but C.J. Gardner-Johnson made honorable mention, and there's 5 honorable mentions. There's a top 10 and then 5 honorable mentions. Kalen Bullock.
Woo!
Honorable, not just also receiving votes. Kalen Bullock... Honorable mention. Here's what they say about both the Texan players. C.J. Gardner-Johnson. Quote, this is from an NFC scout. Takes chances, very instinctive, not the biggest dude or the fastest, but has a knack for the ball. The personality can rub guys the wrong way. He has no filter. Will say what's on his mind at all times.
Yes,
but he
is a truth teller.
Oh, dude, this is great for us. This is outstanding. But he loves the game and is very smart. So that's the scouting. I can't wait for this guy. I can't. So excited.
I wonder if if he's a truth teller. Sometimes that's where you get a shelf life. Do you know how to? Do you know when to tell the truth or when sometimes to bite your tongue? I don't know.
But we'll Seth, I'll point out, remember he stayed away from OTAs because he realized he might be a little too honest with everybody. At least that's what he said.
Well, because he felt like he was coming in and everybody felt good about themselves. But it sounded like the way you were saying it was like, boy, everybody's really happy and everything. And the way I interpreted what he was saying was, these guys don't realize that they haven't accomplished anything yet. So I'm going to stay away for a little bit because I'm coming off the high of winning the Super Bowl. We'll see.
Yep.
That's the great brutal honesty is awesome. But even if you're somebody who's brutally honest, and I say this to some of you, you very bold, young 21-year-olds out there. Not every truth needs to be spoken all the time.
That's right.
There's a time and a place.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's best to just bide your time and then tell the truth when it's appropriate or in a certain way.
Exactly. Exactly.
Just because something is true doesn't mean it needs to be said in that moment.
That's right. That's right. I know about the First Amendment and everything else. You know. I know.
Oh yeah. Right. Yeah. No. Listen. The government. The jackbooted thugs aren't going to come after you for saying it. It doesn't mean that it's the right thing to say.
Jackbooted. Yeah. Jackbooted and ham-handed are my two favorite adjectives out there. I love both of those adjectives. Jackbooted. Kalen Bullock. Here's what they're saying about Kalen Bullock, Seth. AFC executive says, quote, I really think he's going to be a star. NFL coordinator says major ball skills needs to improve his tackling.
Yeah, I'll take that. The major ball skills in the range. You know what? I might disagree with a little bit in that I think he's got the range to get there, but he had a lot of opportunities for interceptions where he didn't come down with the ball.
Yeah.
So I think the jugs machine needs to be his best friend for one. But when it comes to the tackling, it's not just the actual physical act of tackling. For him as a safety, a lot of times it's taking the right angles.
Yeah.
And a lot of the things that he struggled with last year as a rookie and got better at as the season went on was kind of just anticipating, seeing the whole picture in front of you. diagnosing where your danger area is and then getting there with the right angle.
Yeah.
Some of those long touchdown receptions could have at least been stopped at the 5 or stopped at the 10 if Kalen had taken a better angle.
Yep.
So, but he got better at it. And he was very, you know, when him and Kamari Lassiter came in, you knew the scouting report was Kalen Bullock is raw, Kamari Lassiter is polished.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it looked like at the beginning of the season. Kalen did a good job of polishing himself up a little bit. He's got to continue on that path. But yeah, and some of it with the tackling, you do wonder a little bit of, okay, yes, he can improve at it, but he is also, he's never going to be an Earl Thomas.
Yeah.
You know, he's not, like, his body size and type and everything is not going to be a ferociously physical style of play.
Dude, the talent, the shift for this organization in recognizing talent in the third round of the NFL draft has been one of the more underplayed shifts over the last, say, 10 years. Rick Smith could not find anything in the third round. Like, he couldn't find his ass from his elbow in the third round. He had a great in the first round, outstanding in the first round. And he wasn't always picking real high. Rick Smith.
It's not easy to be good in the first round.
And he was very good. He was good at finding guys in the 20s and in the teens. I give him credit for that. Third round was abysmal. With Nick Caserio in the third round, they have found Nico Collins, Tank Dell, Christian Harris, and Kalen Bullock. And the reason I couch it as talent recognition is I know what people are going to say. Well, Tank's hurt, and Christian Harris is hurt. I get it, and that's a problem. They need to be healthy. But they undoubtedly found Christian Harris maybe a little less evident than Tank. It was Tank, independent of the injuries, was a star-level player when he was on the field. Tank was excellent. Kalen Bullock, third-round pick. That makes me excited about Jalen Knoll. He was their third round. You know, Jalen Knoll and Jalen Smith, they took both those guys in the third round this year, you know?
Yeah, Tank, it's interesting. I was talking to I sent a clip to Clint because I wanted to ask him about something that CJ did on a play. And there was one I kind of started off because there was a play where Tank was wide open and CJ checked the ball down. But I could tell something was a little bit off. This was from the Patriots game last year, and Clint said something like, I don't know what Tank is doing there. I've never seen that route before.
Yeah.
Like, he feels like there's a little bit of a holdover from the air raid. So I think the way I took it was that CJ didn't see him because Tank was not where he's supposed to be.
Yeah.
And some of that goes back to, man, making that adjustment in your second year, you got to refine everything that much more. And the real big tragedy last year was it was in that Chiefs game where all of a sudden, oh, look at this. We got crossers. There's a short game working and everything. And Tank was on his way to having the best game of his year.
He caught a touchdown, a deep ball on the play he got hurt on.
And held onto the ball.
I know. That was amazing.
Held onto the ball.
It was incredible.
That was so impressive that he held onto the ball as his knee is getting destroyed.
Yeah.
Like, he was going through some sophomore challenge type stuff
same
way a lot of young receivers do. But he was still somebody who had to be accounted for and was like an obvious threat.
Also receiving votes in the safety category, as we just mentioned, C.J. Gardner-Johnson and Kalen Bullock, honorable mention. I'll tell you who the top ones were in a second, but I'm hitting the Texan stuff here. Also receiving votes, former Texan Justin Reed, who's now with the Saints, and Jalen Petrie. Jalen Petrie, I mean... I don't know what we're listing. I don't know what he's listed as on the roster for the Texans, if it's safety or a corner. I just know the stuff the Texans have him doing are not safety things these days. But
he's a nickel linebacker who plays in the slot as well. He's a nickelbacker, star, whatever you want to call it.
So he got some votes. You know, there's 6-7 other guys getting votes. So whatever the league views Petrie as, you know, the executives, coaches, and scouts. At least in this position grouping, he's among the top 20 to 22 of those guys, which I guess feels good given they just gave him a decent amount of money this offseason, you know?
Justin Reed, I keep getting confused too because he goes back to the Saints and he's from Louisiana, and it mirrors so much of like Tyrann Mathieu going back to former Texan who goes back to Louisiana.
Yeah.
Obviously much more of a tie with Tyrann Mathieu because of college and everything.
Yeah.
But Justin Reed is one... Despite the fact that I feel good about the safety position right now, I feel like Justin Reed is one of the biggest casualties from the Jack Easterby era.
Yeah.
I think Justin Reed is a good, solid dude and a very good and solid player and just flat out got sick of the nonsense and it wasn't going to work out. It's a shame, but that's not going to make you or break you or anything.
No.
But I'm glad that he made that.
It worked out for him, and I think the Texans are in a good place right now. So, you know, the one that hurts the worst for me on this list, the number one safety, according to all these voters, could have been a Houston Texan. Kyle Hamilton, Baltimore Ravens. You know, he was part of that whole sequence of events that involved the Kenyon Green pick right there in the middle of the
draft. Ironically enough, at the very least, we did get C.J. Gardner-Johnson out of that draft.
That's true.
So there you
Kenyon
go.
Kenyon Green trade. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. Kyle Hamilton, number one. Brian Branch, number two. Boy, the spreads on the voting at safety. A lot of these votes, the guys that are number one, their highest ranking is one. Like the highest voter put him at one, and the lowest puts him at like three. Safety, Kyle Hamilton, highest ranking one, lowest ranking nine. Brian Branch of the Lions, highest ranking one, lowest ranking, not even on the top 10 for some of these guys. Xavier McKinney of the Packers is number three, highest ranking one, lowest ranking 10. Jesse Bates of the Atlanta Falcons, highest ranking two, lowest ranking, not ranked. And then you got Kirby Joseph, and these guys all have spreads like this. Derwin James is six. Antoine Winfield, seven. Buda Baker still kicking it at 29 here. He's number eight on the list. Minka Fitzpatrick, who just got traded last week back to the Dolphins, he's number nine on the list. And then Julian Love, go Irish.
I think some of these guys, for one, like Minka Fitzpatrick, I think the past performance weighs in more heavily than more recent performance on that one.
Yeah,
it didn't do a whole hell of a lot last year.
No.
The one where I had to fact check myself is when all of a sudden you look up and you realize, oh, Derwin James has actually been healthy for 4 years now.
Yeah, it doesn't feel that
and
way.
He's one of those guys that in your mind you're like, oh yeah, used to be awesome, but that got injured a bunch. You're like, no, he's been pretty healthy. He wasn't himself in 2023. Maybe it was injury related, but he played. Where like last year he looked more like classic Derwin James, just in time to play the Texans
in the playoffs.
Yeah.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you here on a Thursday. All right, let's shift back to the Astros. The big story last night was not their loss to the Guardians. We hated it, but it was not the big story. The big story, Jake Meyers, injured running onto the field before the game even started while coming back from a calf injury. We'll hear from Joe Espada on what made him think it was a good idea to trot Jake out there last night. And then we'll also hear from Jake himself, who did media last night, asked if this one feels worse than the calf strain that you suffered several days ago. We'll have that for you coming up next.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
All right, Astros lose last night in a game that felt a whole lot like the first month of the season, where it's like you look up and the only redeeming quality the game has is it's going to be over by like 9:15. Like, all right, well, at least this game's not going to be a long game, but not great. Yeah. Not great.
The one positive thing I would say is that Brandon Walter, after giving up a couple of home runs, just it was a monster. He was a machine.
Yep.
Retired 17 straight batters, didn't allow anything else. But everything got off to a horrible start.
Yeah, they got a bad lineup right now. It's not a good lineup, and it's not their fault. They got a lot of injuries, but that part I can't get angry about, except the fact that the reason that they've got all these holes in the lineup is because of all the injuries. And injuries are going to happen in sports. I get all that. But the weird things that happen with the Astros and injuries are not things that I'm aware of with other Major League Baseball clubs having this much, not only the sheer quantity of them, but all the issues with bringing guys back to play, where there just seems like the word setback has become a fixture in our vocabulary as an Astros fan. And now last night, I mean, that's where we are. Like, this is a season where Jake Meyers is an incredibly valuable player for this baseball team right now. I am a card-carrying Jake Meyers critic the last 3 or 4 years. He is essential for this team right now because he's still, when he's playing very well. But he had a calf injury a few days ago. They kept him out for a couple of games. They decided to bring him back last night. Here was Joe Espada after the game. Yes. Oh, and by the way, Jake Meyers hurt himself running out before the first inning to go play center field.
Right. Done. He felt great during warmups and everything, and then just gets hurt. He's on the ground, has to be assisted off the field. Yep. It was ugly. The start was delayed because of that. And then again, Walter did a great job, but then immediately, like right after Jake Meyers gets off the field and they start the game, Brandon Walter gives up two home runs.
Yeah,
it just felt
yeah.
like everything was falling apart.
It was a bad 10 or 12 minutes, no question. Here's Joe Espada. What gave you assurance on Meyers that it was a good idea to have him play last night?
Well, we did a lot of tests before we decided to write him in the lineup, and we felt comfortable and strongly about putting him in there. And then before he takes the field, on his way to his position, just tighten up on him.
Yeah, tighten up on him. Was there imaging done on the calf?
No. We didn't think that he needed it. We just did some ultrasound, which it shows how the muscle and stuff is in there, and it's just some tightness in there, and trying to get him healthy, trying to get him back on the field.
Go ahead.
The ludicrousness of having Joe Espada answer questions about ultrasounds and MRIs.
Well, but also honestly, with Joe Espada saying it and kind of just brushing off the notion that they would get an MRI when Yordan Alvarez, no break was revealed.
Yeah.
Eventually showed with an MRI. Jeremy Pena, the x-rays didn't show a break. MRI eventually reveals it. Jake Meyers, Kyle Tucker, going back to last year, no break. This is eventually revealed. The hesitancy to use magnetic resonance imaging is annoying me.
You're
not be hyper-vigilant about this stuff.
You're 100% right. When I listen to Joe, it's Joe Espada saying, answering, no, we didn't. We did this ultrasound thing. That should have been the end of the answer. When he starts going in, because that sees the muscle, he starts explaining what an ultrasound is. I'm like, this guy's out over his skis. They need to have some medical people answer some of these questions. There's too many important injuries and too many setbacks with injured players with this team for the organization not to have to at least answer a few questions, even if the answers are vanilla, to have to answer these. I don't ever recall anything remotely like this, and the only people out there in front talking about it are people whose expertise are changing pitchers in a baseball game and scouting guys in the Dominican Republic. Those are the ones answering medical questions for a team that has a bleep ton of medical questions right now.
As Adam Spillane had pointed out, that James Click, back in the day, back when he was the general manager of the Astros, had said, hey, we think we probably rushed Jake Myers back from his injury too soon.
Yeah.
Ironically enough, it was Jake Myers.
Yeah.
Lo and behold, James Click. We're going to do a study about it. We're going to try to figure out what's going on. James Click gets fired, and as far as we know, no general manager since, including Jim Crane himself when he was general manager, has said that they've really dove into this and tried to figure out what the hell's going on.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad you brought up Crane. I said this earlier in the show, and I'll say it again. Like, it's I have been probably to the erred more to the cautious side of just completely pointing the finger at the medical staff because I'm not a doctor. I don't know any of this stuff. I just know now, and the silliness of a guy who was out for a couple of days with a calf, severely pulling his calf again, running out there, like something went wrong here along the way with an organization that just has had something go wrong with too many guys now. There's just too many guys, too many important guys too. Any pitcher is really important. Yordan Alvarez, really important. Misdiagnosing and continuing to lead us all around by the nose on this Kyle Tucker injury last year was just silly. And then to sort of at the 11th hour say, oh yeah, it was broken the whole time, just looks like a clown show. That's why I think at this point, it is on Jim Crane. Like, it's not on Dana Brown. It's on Jim Crane. You have an area of your organization, the medical, the whatever we're calling it, medical, that is failing right now in some way. And it's affecting the on-field. It's affecting the most important thing, which is winning baseball games. And I can tell you, I feel like if this were going on in a normal business with Jim Crane, that some department was failing the rest of the company this badly, there'd be heads rolling right now over this.
It feels like it's like the Astros are a guy who keeps bringing his car back to the same auto shop every time, and he goes into, hey, we need a guy. Hey, can you change the oil? Oh, sure. Turns out, by the way, we found an issue with the fuel injection. It's going to cost you $3,000. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm up here. 3 months later. Yeah. Like, oh, yeah, I think, it needs a tune-up. Like, no, turns out you actually need a major engine overhaul.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll do it. Like, how many times are you going to keep going back to that auto shop?
Yes.
When they are, like, after a while, a pattern emerges that, no, this is not an auto shop that can be trusted.
Those mechanics are not good. Yeah,
Jake Myers has not driven right since the first time you worked on him.
Right. Well, it's a disturbing pattern, and not that the Astros are a team that dips into free agency a ton, but it would be something, if I were an agent and I was advising a client on whether or not to sign with the Astros, this would certainly be something that would show up on my evaluation as compared to other teams right now, right?
I'll tell you one thing. You know what's interesting is I don't recall hearing the Astros side of this, but when Carlos Correa was a free agent and all of a sudden the mysterious lower leg anomaly kept getting teams to bail out on him, I would love to think that, oh, the Astros knew about that, and that's one of the reasons. But I'm not. I don't suspect that they did know a damn thing about it. The fact that they offered him anything at all, when other teams weren't, I don't know. I don't know. Somebody forward me a report of the Astros actually knowing about that anomaly in his lower leg.
I haven't even thought about that. That's a really, really good point. Let's hear from Jake Myers. Jake, what did you do before the game last night? What kind of workout did you have before the game?
Bunch of sprinting, like a good amount of sprinting, good dynamic warm up, cuts in and out. Felt good doing all that. Good, 20-25 minute workout. Hit. Went through the day like any other day. So, trying to get more information tomorrow.
Okay. And no MRI was done at all on this.
So that part of it, at least, when you only got it coming back from a muscle injury or anything until he feels really, really good. If this had happened in isolation and there wasn't a boatload of previous examples, I really wouldn't have thought much of it.
Nope.
I would have thought like, oh, well, that's what it kind of stinks. But now we're
it's
in
a
situation where, man, anytime anybody has a setback, it's here we go again.
Yeah.
We're all like, as a fan base, we're like shelter dogs.
Yes.
Just, waiting for you.
In the corner. It's totally, man. It's bad.
Don't pet me. Don't pet me. Something bad's about to happen.
The teeth. I was watching a video yesterday of people trying to feed vegetables to dogs, and they have you ever seen that video?
Yeah, those are funny.
They're flashing their teeth.
They're so angry.
They're so mad. That's what I picture Astro fans right now. Jake Meyers. Okay, this was the money shot here. This was the video that was making its rounds after the game. Was when Jake Meyers was asked if this calf strain feels worse than the first one that he had. This is what you need to envision. After Jake Meyers says, you need to envision him like looking and staring off camera as if like he's in a hostage video or something and he's wondering what he should say. Like he's getting interrogated. Here is Jake Meyers being asked, does this one feel worse?
This feel worse than it did yesterday? I can see that. You can't go out loud. You're going, man. That's all I got.
Okay. Sorry. Yeah, it was a little mumbly.
Who said you're a grown man? Was that the guy he was asking, or was that the?
Oh, I think
I
that was
he said you're a grown man.
I think that was the staff. I had to be the staffer, right? Who he was asking.
I love it if it was Brian McTaggart.
That would be great. Or Chandler.
Come on, you're a grown
Chandler
man.
Chandler would be even better. Because Chandler's so appropriately so. Chandler had chosen his writing. He's angry about this medical stuff too. In his that would have been great if it was Chandler Rome saying you're a grown man.
We got to go back and watch the video. Any of our listeners that know Morse code, tell us if he was blinking the word torture with his eyes as he was saying it. It sounded that did sound like a hostage video.
Yeah. My favorite part was he's just stringing it out long enough. He's just hoping everybody will walk away.
That would have been awesome. Yeah, if Chandler were there and we're like, you're a grown man. Don't look at him. Look at me.
Right
answer
here.
The question.
Right here. He's doing the thing where he's pointing at the eyes like this. Yeah.
I wonder if Chandler, because a lot of people would get on Chandler for just, they would feel like he was just beating the medical issue up too much. I feel like that's probably shifted over towards like, oh, Chandler had a point all these years that he's been going on about this.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
Chandler was the one man brave enough to tell the truth about a situation.
We asked the audience earlier in the show because we were talking about a podcast that talked about the most overcovered stories in sports. So we localized it for Houston and more specifically this show. We appreciate all the feedback. You asked for more undercovered stuff. I'll hit these quickly, Seth. We can hit more of them in the last segment. This is an interesting one. I think you guys should cover college football a lot more. We don't do a ton on this show.
I'll tell you honestly, the reason for that is that what we've learned, and you know, it's worth maybe an experiment this year to figure it out. But in the past, usually what happens is if you start talking about UT, Aggies turn the station. If you start talking about the Aggies, LSU in Texas just doesn't want to hear it.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, it's hard for us to find that common ground.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, every city is different when it comes to sports talk. You go around the country and some places college basketball is huge.
Yeah.
Other places college football is the deal. You know, in the Northeast, baseball is way bigger, whether the team is good or bad. You know, in Houston, it's largely when the baseball team's good, it's really good to talk about and vice versa. But yeah, for whatever reason in the past, when we've tried to lean more into college football, it just seems to really segment the audience.
It's very parochial. There's no question.
Yeah.
There's no question.
We're in a town where the amount of Aggies and the amount of the UT Longhorns, it's split right. Like you're having your audience.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Aggies just, in general, Aggies just have. And now, you know what? We haven't really experimented with it since Texas has been in the SEC.
In the SEC, yeah.
That's probably the big, so that's probably the big difference there.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
We'll take that. We're taking all of it under advisement.
And then we'll also tell you as a peek behind the curtain as far as like the rating system in general is really bad at figuring stuff out like this. The radio ratings. But now we do have more. We've got more streaming data.
Yeah, we got data
that gives a more real time picture of it. So we'll run an experiment during the football.
One particularly creepy texter says we've undercovered the topic of Jared Goff's wife. I think I'm in love, boys. Is what they.
Oh really?
Yeah, she's
did
very.
Did he get
attractive.
Married or is she new or what? What's
no,
the deal?
He's been with her for a little while. She's very. Go figure. NFL quarterback who makes $53 million a year has attractive wife. Alert the media. Start the presses. Seth's Googling her right now, I can tell.
Oh, yes. She's very pretty.
Yeah, she's good. Okay. Yeah, she's good. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you. All right. We already have the first very positive development for the Houston Texans early in the regular season this year with a big matchup at NRG Stadium. We'll tell you what that is coming up next.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Seth and I were just talking off the air. I was really hoping, and we're going to get to the Texans topic here. I was really hoping that Isak Paredes was replacing Alex Bregman in the American League All-Star team just because he replaced Bregman here. But I guess by process, he's technically replacing Jose Ramirez on the AL All-Star team.
And it started because I was talking about how I was annoyed that in the press release and in the first blurb I read about Paredes being an All-Star, and I would include on the broadcast last night too. They mention it, and I'm like, okay, but why? Like, why is he an All-Star?
You had to go looking for it.
And I almost feel like people are like they don't want to detract from the honor by pointing out that he's a replacement. Yeah. I'm like, I don't know. It is what it is.
It's just information.
Tell me, why am I having to search for this?
Yeah, that's.
And I got annoyed.
That's a really good. I hadn't thought about. I found myself searching for it, but I hadn't thought about why. And that's why you're you. That is good. Like the why of the whole thing. I'm like, dude, I guess I'll go search for it. And Seth is more like, why are they making me do this?
Yeah. Why are they making me do this? Yeah. What is that? Yeah. Like, what is that? And that all started.
I'm just a dope who goes and does it. Yeah.
Conversation we were having about advice. I like sometimes when people ask me about getting into sports media or something, I struggle still to kind of tell people like, my biggest advice is be interesting. Just be an interesting person.
Right.
And okay, well, how do I go about doing that? The one thing I discovered long ago is like the best way to be interesting is to be interested in things.
Yeah.
Like, because think about some of the best teachers or professors you ever had who might have not really had good speaking skills or social skills or anything else because they're so passionate about chemistry that chemistry becomes interesting to you. that, yeah, if you can cultivate a passion in something, you'll be interesting to somebody.
Yeah.
Just by being passionate about
it. Get out and do things, man. Like, if you go out and do things, you're inherently going to come across some interesting stuff, you know?
Barrett Sports Media once asked me to write something. They asked a bunch of people to write advice for young people and everything. Yeah. They're getting into sports radio. And I basically said, like, stop being such a nerd. Go out and go get drunk. Get in a fight.
Yeah.
Get in an unhealthy relationship with a hot but tragically flawed woman or something.
Yeah.
Just stop being a nerd that's just sitting around consuming box scores all
day.
And they didn't print my stuff. I framed
that's good advice.
I like, framed it better than that.
Yeah.
But yeah, yeah.
You got a satchel full of stories, man, in your back pocket. That's
and I don't mean nerd in a way that, like, no, it's great to be a nerd. It's great to be a nerd in social media and everything, especially. But just be a passionate nerd about
passionate
it.
Passionate nerd. You don't have to break the law or anything like that, but go and have a good time, man. This was a positive development for the Texans yesterday, Seth. Tristan Wirfs, tackle for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, is going to miss the early part of the regular season.
Oh,
with
no.
Knee issues. He had one of those, the way I read it is he had one of those kind of cleanup procedures that it feels like a lot of NFL guys get in the offseason to kind of fly under the radar.
Got a little couple gremlins in the knee or
couple
something.
Gremlins, yeah. Exactly. A couple gremlins in the knee. And while they were in there, they found some other stuff that was a little more than gremlins in the knee. And so it's not anything.
It turned out it was his twin brother that died in the womb. Yeah.
it was right in right on
tiny
top
little,
of
a tiny little
it was an embryo.
Calcified embryo or a little fetus in there.
It was a zygote on top of his meniscus. And so that's going to keep him out for at least 2 to 4 weeks. So
I feel weird getting rid of it. I feel like they should. If I were a surgeon and I found a calcified zygote of your dead twin in your knee, I'd have to be like, all right, we can't do this right now. We got to ask him. We're gonna have to wake him up and ask him if he wants us to remove
it.
They
handed it to him, and then he said, "What is this?" And they said, "Luther Wirfs." That's what we named him. How do you know it's a him? Look right there. You know,
create a pendant of him in here.
Oh, no.
Carry him around with me.
Trust
for the rest
me.
Of my
I had
life.
Him wearing it around his neck by the time it's all over. Yeah. So, anyways, this is for a team that has the 8th and 9th best edge rushers in the NFL, according to 70 executives, coaches, and scouts.
Yeah.
This is great news on week 2. They play the Bucs in week 2. Will
Good
Anderson
job,
and
Wirfs.
Daniil Hunter are going to eat. I'm going to eat in that game. Yeah.
The Bucs are a good team to look at, too, because Tristan Wirfs is one of their name brand offensive linemen. But I like pointing to the Bucs as a team that outperformed as an offensive line what they look like on paper.
Yeah.
There's so much about it they can go into where, man, the cohesiveness of the unit matters a lot more than any of the individual stars. So you look at the Texans offensive line, obviously, last year. Okay, well, Laremy Tunsil. He's the one bona fide brand name guy. But you can still be a good offensive line if you just have everybody doing the same thing in unison and at the right moments. And they were doing none of that last year. So the Texans offensive line can get a lot better this year without Laremy Tunsil just by being a better group in total.
Yep.
Unlikely that they'll be as good in pass protection at left tackle. Maybe they do. Maybe we end up getting, maybe Ariante Ursary is rookie of the year or something. But as a group, they can be a lot better than last year.
Tristan Wirfs' likely replacement, Charlie Heck.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, somebody had mentioned. Yes.
Former Houston Texan and soon to be former neighbor of mine. He's still bumping around the building a little bit here while during the downtime. Between OTAs or between minicamp and training camp. I ran into him a couple of weeks ago before we went on vacation.
Is his wife from around here?
No. They're both college sweethearts. They're both from North Carolina, or they both went to North Carolina. Charlie's from everywhere because his dad was and is a coach. He's the Kansas City Chiefs offensive line coach right now.
I hope his lease expires at the end of July so that he's not going to have to try to, negegotiate something.
Yeah.
That's a pain in the butt.
It is. Yeah. And he's not making that Laremy Tunsil money either. You know, he's got kind of that one year at a time money going on.
You live in a pretty nice building though, man.
Yeah.
I'm always kind of jealous when I go to your building.
It's not bad.
Like, ooh, this is like living like a fancy, an Instagram influencer or something.
It's like living in a hotel. It is.
You're just out there with your Pat Mahomes bod by the pool.
Yep.
Drinking.
I am him. I yell, I am him. Yeah. So, Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter. Maybe look at
the biggest thing. When it comes to the O-line matchups, the moment where my sphincter tightened up a little bit yesterday was when we were going over the defensive tackle, the top 10 defensive tackle list.
Yeah.
And I realized that of the top 10 defensive tackles on that list, the Texans are going to face them a total of like 8 total games because of the, you know, Jeffrey Simmons is on. They're going to face Jeffrey Simmons
it
twice.
Is.
That, the interior offensive line, which we're all going to have our eyeballs on, they face some studs this year.
Big time. Of the top 10 defensive tackles, the Texans face 15 of them this year. That's what it feels like. That's what it feels like. They face all of them. So that's crazy. Let's see here. Topics. We're getting the overcovered and undercovered topics.
Yeah, so we did earlier the topics that we have overcovered and the topics that you guys wish we would cover more.
Yes.
We're trying to do a little self-diagnosis.
A little self-diagnosis, make sure we're giving the people what they want. Most of all, I think people seem to be pretty happy with the balance on the show. The undercovering of Jared Goff's wife is pretty funny. It's more about the overcovering of story. People, the undercovered stories we're not hearing about. The overcovered ones, people are like, Aaron Rodgers, Belichick, and Jordan Hudson is the one you and I have gotten the most of, I think, of all those.
Yeah. That's I can understand why. Yes. That's fair.
Yeah.
Now, the thing is, though, usually when we go into that stuff, we talk about it when it's a hot news story, and we don't. It's not like we spend the whole show.
One segment.
No, my favorite text was the people that said that we overcovered the Houston Food Bank last week.
Oh yeah. Y'all overcovered the Houston Food Bank last Friday.
You know what? They put that together. Reginald and Show put that together. And
quick.
We're hoping to, you know, raise a few. I think they had set a goal of $3,000. And ended up being over $22,000 by the end of the day. So we had to be sure we do an acknowledge me to those two next week.
Absolutely.
We forgot to do them in an acknowledge me this week.
We didn't do it on Monday. We'll do it next Monday. Yeah, I think the total was just under $24,000 on the big cardboard check.
Yeah.
And then I think there's another few thousand kind of sitting in abeyance for some other lunches that might get auctioned off here.
How much did the dinner with you and me end up going
for? Well, here's the thing. It went, okay, so this is what I was told. Ours went for $2,000, which was good. It tied within the loop for the most for the dinner. It was a dinner for a listener and a plus one to go with me and you to Churrasco's. But apparently there was another listener who kind of left the radio for the day, was hoping to kind of hear what the bidding on our lunch was because they wanted to outbid whoever it was. And by the time they checked back in, the bidding had closed. So I believe this particular listener is offering money if we will do a second one, me and you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So we could end up upping it up to 20, like to another couple thousand.
Another
dollars.
Few thousand bucks is what
and
I heard.
And you and I get to go to Churrasco's twice.
Or maybe Churrasco's. I don't know if the Churrasco's
is
aware
of this. Churrasco's has to agree to it also.
Yeah. So I think there's still some moving parts, but as long as you and I are willing participants, we'll find a place to go eat.
Yeah, you know, the Churrasco's is gracious enough to give me quite a few free meals, and every single time I think they regret it. Because I'm like, well, I just won't eat for 3 days beforehand.
What?
They're like, they'll throw me up some of that Peruvian specialty drink as well.
That's on them.
Bring me a pitcher.
That's on them for having the former defensive tackle as their endorser, all right?
No, they like it.
Oh, I know. I know.
Yeah.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. John Lopez, Luke Morrow is here again, rocking his Dunder Mifflin tee.
Yes.
Like to see it. Fellas, how you doing?
Good.
What do you guys feel is the most overcovered story, not nationally, but here in Houston, like on our station, like
where we just beat it to death.
We beat it beat, like a dead horse kind of thing. What do you think?
Beat it. Like
I know I'm hijacking you with this.
No. Right? I'm
ambushing
sure there's an answer. I want to make sure and come up with something good.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of a good one. I heard you guys talking about.
Oh, you did? Okay. Yeah.
Belichick and his girlfriend.
That's the one that the listeners are telling specifically me and Seth that they think that we cover that one a little too much. But we just love that story so much.
It is a good one.
It's a love story is what it is.
It is a love story.
I was multitasking. Sorry, did you say for Houston or nationally?
Well, Houston. Yeah.
Houston.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, it can be a national story that we talk about in Houston.
Yeah.
Though, too.
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. Honestly, I would have said I thought we were doing too much of like the Durant stuff months ago because I actually didn't think it was going to happen.
We got some of that. That's a good answer. Yeah. We got some of that on the text page. But it was almost like because the trade ended up happening, we got forgiven for beating it into the ground.
Vindicated.
Those were not empty calories. No. Those were not empty calories.
Yeah, Sean, correct me if I'm wrong, but the week before it happened, didn't I give it I gave it an over 50% chance that Durant was coming.
You were, as that journey went on, you were more positive than most that something was going to happen. With it.
Yeah, and I was really second guessing myself because a lot of people were like, Seth, come on, what the hell are you talking about? They're not going to do this, they're not going to do that. But
yeah, they end up doing it.
I got lucky. I'm not going to give myself a pat on the back for it or anything.
Crosstalk sponsored by D&M Auto Leasing. I know you guys have a question of the day.
We absolutely have a question of the day. What's something that you've had to do that you were completely unqualified for?
And
it's based on Joe Espada having to be a doctor.
Okay, well, rodeo.
Espada having to answer for
radio hosting when they gave me my first job. How's that?
Completely unqualified.
Yeah. I'll tell you honestly, when the Super Bowl was here, man, it was a bonanza for me financially because there's so many, all these places, companies come in and everything, and they just want somebody that's affiliated with the NFL somehow to either host the event or be here or whatever. So I was just like, I was working like a 90-hour week going around to do stuff at a Sam's Club and doing this and everything. I made like $20,000 that year.
That's awesome.
During Super Bowl week? Oh,
yeah.
My God.
And
wish I played football.
Here's the thing, though. One of the biggest it was a lot of money. I can't remember how much it was. Somebody asked, could I MC a Patriots pep rally before the Super Bowl? And I'm like, well, for how much? Oh, yep, I'll do that.
Oh, totally. That's me, man.
I get to this Patriots pep rally, and it was right before the Super Bowl, that day of, the hours leading up to the Super Bowl. I was in the convention center, and I get in there, and it was huge. It was huge. And I get up there, and all of a sudden, I'm in that position of like, hey, I'm supposed to get the crowd going. But there was something in me that like, I just can't.
Yeah.
I can't drum up. Like this
for the
level.
Patriots.
Like what am I going to do? Yeah. And they introduced me, and I could see everybody out in the crowd looking around like, what the hell is this? Like, who the hell is this guy? Do you know how many former Patriots live in the Houston area that would have been better than me for this? But I leaned into it, and I went hard, and it fell flat. Like, it was every little thing I tried to do to get the crowd going or anything. It was like drunken, polite golf claps and everything.
Oh, let me hear you.
And it was like a 3-hour event, man. It was rough. It was rough. Ted was there just signing autographs. Ted Johnson.
Why wasn't he doing it?
And that's what I was like, Ted. I at some point, I was like, I'm going to give Ted half my fee if he'll just take over. And he said, sorry, man, I got to go. I got to go do something. I'm like, all right. I did. I was like, I'll give you half my fee if you can just stand here next to me.
Yeah.
While I do some of this
Hey, guys, Teddy J here.
Yeah, I can tell. By the way, Crosstalk brought to you by D&M Auto Leasing. Well, I can tell you, having done a show with Ted for 5 years, a pivot like that for Ted in that moment, not happening.
Yeah.
Ted is a guy, like, hand me my agenda at the beginning of the day, and we're not straying from this agenda. And it could have been any amount of money, Seth. You could have given him your whole fee, and he would have been like, no.
I was. I was about, I'll give you anything. Yeah. What do you want me to do?
Get me off this stage.
full Chris Rock what was that movie? Anyway, go ahead.
Mine probably was... When I back before radio, let me be clear. I was very unqualified for radio when I first got into radio. I was not a classically, and still not a classically trained radio person. But in my previous life, when I was in sales, I was vice president of sales for my company. They fired the vice president of marketing. So I had to be in charge of sales and marketing until they found a new VP of marketing. And marketing's not my thing. Yeah. Like, I'm creative, but not like
that.
Creative like to go execute initiatives out there in the marketplace. I'm creative in coming up with a segment comparing, comparing firing coaches to Game of Thrones or something like that. Mm-hmm. So I hated that. I don't have a marketing degree. Marketing was something I didn't pay a lot of attention to. I was a sales guy. I just want to go close deals, that kind of thing. And it sucked because, one, I wasn't good at it. I don't think I was that great a VP of sales, if I'm being honest. I was really good salesperson and like sales manager. Strategy is not my thing, man. Yeah. It's just strategy. Yeah. But I was really bad at VP of marketing. There was not a lot of marketing going on at the time.
I think you guys would get a kick out of this one. It's been probably 20 years now, 18, 20 years.
Yeah.
But I had to deliver a eulogy for someone I didn't know.
Wow.
There's no Wikipedia.
I was asked to speak for at an Aggie muster, which is kind of a traditional, you know, all the people that died, you know, they have an event. And yeah. I was the speaker.
Yeah.
And one of the people they were going to recognize was this former general, like this World War II general.
Mm-hmm.
But he died like three or four days before the event. He was going to be at the event. So they said, hey, can you say a few words about General blah, blah, blah? And I went, sure.
Sure, if you hand me the words that I need to say.
I was like, well, he was a general.
Yeah.
He was a good dude. He was,
How'd you do that?
I muddled my way through it, just like, you know, served in World War II, blah, blah, blah. But I mean, I had to deliver a eulogy for someone I didn't know.
Oh, you should have made up some great war stories like, about him, like stuff that just, yeah, like rescued 10 people.
Maybe.
Yeah. You might have.
Maybe
wow.
he did. I don't know.
Wow. Well, that'll be good. You got a good one?
Did anybody, if you didn't offend anybody.
I didn't. I muddled through because I don't think a lot of people, maybe some, knew him either.
Yeah.
But I was like, general was, he was a general.
Do you have family there?
I don't know.
Okay.
But there were some people that were kind of looking around like, this guy doesn't know who he is.
You said it, yeah.
Yeah. How old was he when he died?
Well, it was 20 years ago when he was in World War II, so I'm guessing 80-ish.
He's in his 80s. Yeah, so he must. A lot of people who might have been able to do that weren't around anymore.
Yeah.
Wow, what an honor. That's big. All right, Payne and Pendergast. We've already eaten into 3 minutes of your show. I'm anxious to listen to this at 10:40. I want to hear what Luke has done that he's completely unqualified for when that segment rolls around.
Next 4 hours.
Yeah. Not true. All right, Luke Morrow is in for Reggie Atitula, John Lopez, Figgy Fig. Seth, antibodies to you, my friend.
Antibodies and a renewed interest in marketing to you.
Yes.
Not going to happen, as John McClain would say. All right, we are done. We're out of time. You're listening to KLT AM, KLT FM HD2, Houston, an Odyssey sports station.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.